I thought we were just yelling about being mermaids trapped on land.
Are sirens mermaids?
Yeah.
But they don't have tails.
Yes, they do.
What?
Sirens and mermaids are synonymous.
No. No, I don't think that's true.
I beg to disagree. I am both, and they are both, and that is what we are. And we are just luring men and trapping them to their death with our song, or we're just very hot. I don't know.
So we're mid-30s. We're all single. We've all been thoroughly disappointed by the men in our lives.
Yes.
None of us have achieved our career goals.
We're so successful.
We live in different cities.
Yes.
And we're super hot.
We're super hot. So what do we do? What do we do now? I'm not ready for action. I'm smoking these rappers and feeling spectacular. Making a killer like Massacre. Watch out, I'm whipping my wrist. Right on my city, been pissed. But I show them love. I'm not the one that's at risk. Okay. So tell us what did you just do, Nina?
I was at a Czech bakery. And I met a now friend who I was dating at the end of summer, before I left for Italy and Germany. We hung out a few times and we were dating, and he's lovely. He's a lovely man. But I wasn't feeling the sparkles that I wanted to feel, and he was. And it was a really tough thing to navigate. Like, I wanted to be where he was on his level, but I wasn't there. And I wasn't getting there. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to get there. And I ended up just, like, crumbling. And I really hurt his feelings. And I just saw him, and talking to him, like, it rebroke my heart all over again, because he's so sweet and he's so kind and he has a wonderful energy. I just, like, didn't have that romantic passion that I was looking for. And
did anything change?
What do you mean?
Like, did you feel differently seeing him this time with a little more
space? I mean, it always felt like a nice friendship, and it was nice to see him, but my feelings have not changed. Like, he is my friend, and I want us to remain friends and be friends, and I am pretty sure he's definitely on that page. But I know that not seeing me and, like, me kind of breaking it off really affected him, and he freely talked about it, and he used the analogy of, like you have a sick dog, and some people take it to the vet and try and, like, spare it. And then he was just like, no, you should just shoot the dog. And I didn't shoot him as the dog. I dragged it out too long and, like, tried to, I guess, do it too gently, and it wasn't going through. So shoot the dog is the metaphor.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I do that too.
It's like, break it up. Just break it off. Don't drag it out. And I did drag it out because I felt very torn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were trying to decide what you actually felt towards him.
Right. And not what I should feel. And I told him, I still have a lot of guilt about that.
Well, was your meeting today inspired by our talk last week?
A little bit.
Did you reach out to him, or did he reach out to you?
He had reached out to me, I think, in the beginning of January via email. And I wasn't ready to talk to him or see him. I was going through kind of a hard time at that day that he emailed me, and I just, like, couldn't deal with it, and I ignored it. And then he reached out to me again last week over text, and said that, you know, he was thinking of me, and would I ever want to meet up and go for a walk. And I said, yeah, I'd love to meet up with you and go for a walk, but, like, we both understand that this is just in a friend capacity. And he was like, yes, understood, totally, of course.
You guys only went out a few times, right? Like, it wasn't...
No, we hung out like 7 or 8 times, but we were both away for, like, a month and a half overlap. So we had, like, 4 nice little dates, and then, you know, we kissed. That was pretty much the extent. And then he went away, and then I went away 2 weeks later, and then he got back 2 weeks after, and then I got back, like, another 3 weeks after that. And then when I got home, like, I was in a really bad place, and I was trying to see him, and it just kind of all crumbled, and I would end up, like, crying at the end of all of our dates, or just crying on our dates, because I was so emotional and so overwhelmed, and I just felt like he needed me to be in a place that I wasn't in, and I felt a lot of pressure, and it was really hard, because I do really enjoy him as a person. Like, he is the greatest. He is lovely. It's not the right energy for me.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was most interesting about him is you didn't tell us about him while you were actually seeing him, and that's atypical behavior for you. You usually are immediately telling us about new guys, and you didn't tell me about him until we were in Germany and you were, like, already the several dates in.
Yeah. I think, like, I was always kind of hesitant about it from the beginning because I wasn't sure, and I was still, like, kind of feeling it out, and we didn't spend that much time together, so it was like I really liked him and I liked communicating with him, and he would send me pictures and we would chat. But it felt always more like a friendship to me and not like a romance. And that's probably why I didn't talk about it as much. So it was really nice to see him. I'm glad that we can, like, be in each other's lives. I did not want to never see him again or never talk to him again. I needed some time. And I still feel guilty about it. And I'm still going to until I don't anymore.
Do you think you'll always feel guilty about not liking people who like you?
When they're really good people who would treat me better than anyone's ever treated me, yes. I think I will.
What's that about? Because I do hard. The same thing. But I don't think that's, like, helpful.
It's not. But I see how kind and how loving they could be to me. And I feel like an asshole for not accepting it and not being on the same page.
Right, but, like, think how many people you meet in your daily life who there's no question, maybe they're, you know, like, married or in a relationship, and you think, like, that's a lovely person, but you feel no attraction to them. Like, we meet people all the time that are great people that we don't feel attracted to, and it's like, why do we expect ourselves to feel attracted to every guy that's single nice person to us? Yeah, every single person that's interested in us, if they're, like, a good person.
I don't know. I think for me it's like a lot about my relationship with my dad and my stepdad and my mom, and, like, unconditional love versus conditional love, and, like, never quite feeling like I deserved to be loved. And I finally got that when I was about 30. Like, I finally understood that I was worthy of love. So it feels really awful for me when I'm in front of someone who would love me and treat me beautifully that I can't give that back.
Well, it's definitely not something you should beat yourself up about. It's like, I think the
but
point,
you see,
Sarah,
I'm emotional. I'm emotional about it.
Right.
Like, it's very hard to meet someone that you like, they like you equally, and you have a real, true, deep connection. That's a one in a million person.
Yeah.
So the pressure we put on ourselves to, like, you know, I do the same thing though. I don't think I do it as much anymore, but if I meet a nice guy who seems very warm and caring, I would beat myself up that I wasn't interested in them. But then looking back, like, I had really nice guy friends in high school, and my parents were always like, why aren't you dating these guys? These are, like, really nice, good guys. And they were. And sure, I could have dated them. I wasn't, like, emotionally able to do that. But, like, they would have been good choices. But none of them are my soulmate. Like, I don't look back on any of them and think, like, yeah, I really should have been with that person. I didn't feel it. I didn't miss anything by not dating them. You know, like, that wasn't the person for me. And maybe the people I go for are a little bit more fucked up in general. Like, that's something I have to work through. But I don't know, beating ourselves up.
It's not that I'm beating myself up. I'm not beating myself up. I am emotional and I feel guilty.
Right. Well, the guilt is kind of beating yourself up.
I mean, I can let it go at a certain point, or like it will stop being like an ache, but I can't force myself to be attracted to someone. Like, that we know. We all know that. You can't force that.
Nobody can.
No. And if you do, you end up in shitty relationships and shitty marriages where it's an imbalance and it's an awful, ugly way to break up with someone or break someone's heart. Like, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I'm looking to ever do. I think it's just that, like, that potential of someone can see you and see all your faults and see how messy you are and still think that you're adorable and still want to hang out with you and spend time with you. Like, the way that he looks at me and is like, he regards me, it's nice, because like, I've been very vulnerable with him, and he's seen me like in a panic attack, he's seen me have total meltdowns, and he still thinks I'm delightful and adorable.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard for me
We think that too, so that's just showing a friend.
Yeah, exactly. But,
and that's fine for him to be in a friend category.
And now he's my friend. And he's probably dodging like 7 million bullets by just remaining my friend.
No.
Yeah. It's a lot. Like, but he does have this amazing way of understanding me, and he's kind of in his own way a mess too. And I think we relate on that. Like, we call it being like peak Nina, and then he's peak X, and he's like, I've been real peak X lately. And I'm like, oh, tell me. I'm like, I'm peak Nina-ing all the time. So I deeply do relate to him, and that I think is rare, and that I think is really beautiful. And so it's definitely like these layers that become really, really hard to parse out. Like, is this a friendship? Could this be a romance? Why isn't this a romance? Like, why don't I want this person? And that's where a lot of that uncomfort and feeling like, why can't I just let this person love me and love them? Like, why?
Well, that's a good therapy question.
But it also can just be an energy thing. I've had guy friends that I had really close relationships with, like, especially when I was younger, I did this a lot, that I knew they had feelings for me. They were kind of devoted to me in this unhealthy way, and I just couldn't be more than friends.
Yeah.
And I always felt kind of bad about it. Like, I should like them. I should want this. But, like, they weren't the right energy for me. Like, we didn't quite complement each other in the right ways. And maybe if I wasn't as fucked up, I could have dated them. But, like, none of those would have been my person at the end of the day. I could have had a relationship, but it wouldn't have gone the whole way.
Right. Well, also, we were 13 and 12, so...
No, I'm talking about, like, college.
And college, like, and high school. A little
older, yeah.
Sarah and I went to middle school together, and we were both... We had some interesting boy experiences, like, with Peter Hart. You've never talked about that, and I think that's truly, like, a fascinating origin story of you.
That was, yeah. I still think about that. That still kind of haunts me.
Tell it, Sarah. Yeah,
I don't know about this.
He was by far, like, the coolest person that's ever been interested in me. And by cool, I mean, like, middle school standards of coolness.
Popular kid.
Yeah, trendy. Like, popular. The popular boy. Yeah. Because, you know, you come into sixth grade and, like, it's kind of a clean slate.
Tell it.
Okay. We came into sixth grade from elementary school, so we're in middle school. All these new schools get fed into the same middle school, so there's all these people you don't know. And all of a sudden, our group of friends kind of got wrapped up with, like, the cooler kids.
Ooh.
And we were not cool.
I wasn't, like, not cool. I just wasn't also cool. I don't know what defines that. But we tricked people for, like, there's a 30 Rock like this where, like, Liz Lemon goes to college and, like, is freshman year with the cool kids, and then they realize she's not cool. It was kind of like that. So for, like, the first half of sixth grade, I was, like, super cool. I started talking like a valley girl. That's why I say like all the time, because I can't shake it once I started.
Same.
And we were going to the mall and running up the down escalator and it being involved in all sorts of mall shenanigans. And we had, like,
so
a pack.
So cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. And I became friends with this guy who was kind of like the leader, and he was cute. I mean, I don't know. We were 11, so he seemed
No, he
cute.
Was cute. He was so cute.
Okay, he was cute. And we became really good friends, and we were, like, talking every night on the phone for, like, 2 hours about nothing, and he was much more advanced. I remember he told me that he had French kissed a 13-year-old, and I was like, what? That is terrifying. So it kind of got to this, like, critical point, and he finally asked me out on a date, and I really thought that's what I wanted, but I guess that was the first time after he asked me out, I just had this like sinking feeling. I said yes, but it's what I call the ickies emerged. So I haven't talked about the ickies yet. Oh my God, this is like so much.
I love it.
This is so much comes out in 11-year-old Sarah. I have this thing to this day when I start developing feelings for someone and they return those feelings or it gets too real, I like shut down. So I all of a sudden become repulsed and I just like, I cannot see the person. I cannot go out with the person. I can't be near them. I can't talk to them. Like I just want them to completely disappear from my life when I have that feeling. It's like this all-encompassing feeling that I term the ickies because I just feel icky around the person. And that happened like this kind of before when we were hanging out, it just had this feeling to me and I was like, totally overwhelmed. And so he asked me out. I say yes. And then I started like panicking on the inside. And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't think I can go out with you anymore. And he was like, that's so mean. I can't believe you said yes. And then you said no. I was like, I know. I'm sorry. And we had to like awkwardly like stand there together, like wait for our parents to come pick us up for the mall or whatever we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw his brother and I, his older brother, who was, like, really cute and 14, who also had kind of a crush on, were in a play together at BAPA. And his brother saw me the next night and was like, that was so harsh what you did to my brother. I was like, I know. And
oh,
I, but
shit,
I
didn't remember that.
I don't even know if I ever told you that. I was like, I don't
know.
No. So then the twist is, so he, like, so then the after that happens, all the cool kids, like, reject me as a friend. And then Peter Hart starts going out with one of my girlfriends, Claire. And, like, I hear that he, like, feels her. She had, like, little sixth grade boobies. She's probably, like, an A cup, but that was a big, you know, big step for sixth grade. And like, the word got around that they, like, made out and he, like, felt her up. And I was just, I was just so, because I did have such strong feelings for him, but because of my own damage, like, when the ickies hit, I kind of, for that moment until, but I'm like totally shut down. But then when they move on from me and like start dating someone else, I am devastated, like completely devastated by that. Ugh, so that was the beginning of pretty much a trend. And yeah, since then, every guy that liked me, I get the ickies and push them away. And then when they move on, I'm devastated. And I feel really bad. And I try not to do that as a grown-up, but I still get the ickies.
Happens. And I inherited the ickies from you, not because of you, but, like, vicariously, I think I do it too, and I did it, and it happened to me, and I had a boyfriend that I didn't even like or want to touch, but I had severe crushes on other people, but I didn't want my boyfriend. But when my boyfriend broke up with me, I was distraught that he was even flirting with anyone else. So same thing.
Yeah, I don't know if your ickies are quite the same as mine, because mine lasted through college, my 20s, my 30s. Now when it happens, it'll happen like if I'm in a relationship with someone after I've had sex with them, I'll just like feel completely repulsed by the person. Or if I've been, like, away and come back and see the person for the first time, I'll be excited. But then the minute I see them, I'll, like, be totally shut down. So now I just tell people. I say, I'm feeling the icky. And once I talk about it, and if the person can be like, that's cool, take your time, then I'm totally fine. Like, once they kind of back off and let me come to them, I'm totally fine. And so I have to talk about it and, like, verbalize it now. It's, like, part of my process of being involved with someone. And Brian used to say to me, he's like, has your heart thawed yet? He would say, like, my heart would freeze when I would go away. And then when I came back, it would take a few hours for it to, like, thaw out.
I have that, too. Lauren. You feel better?
No, that was just, like, really, I don't know, that was a crazy, I feel like this pressure, this, like, weight on my chest.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey.
I think it all ties in. I think it's a very similar feeling, and the way that we process it or verbalize it is a little different, but I think it's that pressure. It's like, if it's stress, if it's feeling grossed out, if it's anxiety, if it's like your heart is frozen, I think that we three definitely go through that in very similar ways, if not identically. Lauren, what do you have those feelings about?
I don't know how to lead into it. I don't know.
Like, cut your emotional wrists open, Lauren. Let it spill out.
I'm trying to, like, think of a moment or something that I can experience to draw from, and I'm blanking completely.
Well, what if it's not even, like, with an ex, but what if it's about, if it's, like, with a friend or with your ex-roommate? Like, I was thinking about you the other night and how you do have some complicated relationships, or you have had some fraught relationships that, you know, you haven't really talked about, and that, you know, we just kind of like walk away from, or you just left, but the emotional fallout has never been addressed.
Yeah, so I guess if we can talk in terms of my former roommate who was a former best friend, and it was like, was that at almost like 11-year or 10-year relationship, sort of, that ended in a way. But it was also not completely unexpected, because that's her pattern. She literally burned every bridge of anybody she's ever been close to. So I wasn't necessarily expecting it to happen to me. I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe I'm the one person that's made it past this, and then it happened. I was like, oh, nope, I'm not immune to this cutout. But the thing that was, like, extra hard with it, too, it happened when my breakup from my ex-boyfriend happened, and so it was a double loss, really, and not having that emotional support from a close friend that I wanted and needed. I did have some other friends who definitely stepped up during that time. Nina, you were one of them. You were, like, a new friend at that point, but you, like, definitely came through, and there was, like, no reason for you to have to do that. You were just... But
I wanted to.
Thankfully, you did.
Yeah.
And I mean, I process things like silently to myself,
yes,
most of the time, and I just,
yeah,
like have to step away and back away from it. And I choose for myself that, is this worth my energy to continue with, or is it easier better for me to pull away from? And I decided that I was the person that was wronged here, and if this person doesn't recognize that and is not apologetic for it, then I don't have the room or the energy in my life to have that person anymore, and I need to focus my energy on these people who are actually making an effort.
And yeah.
So that's what I've done. And every now and then, like, I mean, we were friends for such a long time. There's definitely, like, inside jokes and stuff that I, like, want to post things and reach out or whatever. But then I'm like, this person still hasn't taken responsibility for her actions, so I'm not going to make that effort on her behalf.
Right. I think... as an outsider looking in on that friendship and like how that kind of coincided with the breakup, like I remember she was not there for you at all and, like, could not relate to you, could not empathize, could not sympathize. Like,
no, she literally said, I miss hanging out with you too. I was like, well, I miss hanging out with him too. But that's, like, a really weird thing to say. Like, it's not about you in this moment.
Yeah. And like, you lived together, but she wasn't there. I think she was, like, in her own romance or, like, in a triangle. Yeah, well, she started
dating or tried to start dating our female friend who's a lesbian, but my roommate is not a lesbian and not even really bi. And I was like, what's going on with this? And that started, like, immediately. And then, like, she, of course, pulled away from the friend. And I was like, well, now you're fucking up with my other friend, too. Right. And then there was, like, a guy that was long distance. And she's just, like, really feeds off drama.
Drama.
Is she and borderline? I'm like,
I was tired of the drama. I mean, probably. She's undiagnosed. She has severe, like, there's definitely, she has many
some,
like,
mental health issues
that haven't been addressed properly by anybody. So I mean,
sounds kind of like borderline personality behavior.
I also remember, like, it wasn't until she kind of broke off with that friend that she was trying to date, your mutual friend, and then that long distance guy really screwed her over. Like, it was almost at the tail end of your friendship when she apologized for not being there for you during your breakup, because she was going through something akin to that, but on a much less intensive level. But I think she really fell apart shortly after you did. And then she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I wasn't there for you during your breakup. But it was, like, too little too late at that point. That's what I remember.
Right. It didn't really seem sincere. And then when she moved out, she, like, really screwed me over with moving out. Like, we just signed a year lease again and saying she would be there for at least 3 to 6 months. And it was a month later that she moved out and had that guy in my apartment to help her move out when I was like, why is this guy living in my apartment for 2 weeks? Like, you never said that was going to be a thing.
Yeah. She just, like, did it in such a messy, ugly, inconsiderate way and still tried to be my friend after that. And I was like, oh, lady, really? I don't even know you. And, like, you behaved really, really poorly from my perspective of everything I heard. And why are you inviting me to things? Like, why do you post on my wall? Why are you sending me images? Like, you hurt my friend. You abandoned her. Like, she's lucky she had other people in her life aside from you, but you were her best friend. Like, you're a shitty friend. You were just a shitty, shitty, neglectful, selfish friend. Why? Right. Why do you think you get a pass?
And she had definitely done that to, like, everybody we went to grad school with and was living in that same city, and literally went through each friend at that time in that group and, like, burned that bridge and experience her relationship. But
does she remind you, is she like your mom at all? Or is it different?
Oh, maybe.
Oh. Lauren's mom is here, so she can't say that, yes, she does. But Lauren is pantomiming.
But her mom can't hear us because we all have headphones
right.
on.
Right. So Sarah and I can freely talk about Lauren's mom, but Lauren cannot. So Lauren will pantomime
unless
and we will portray what she's saying.
Unless we come up with a code word.
Yeah. So.
Did you write us, Lauren?
Yeah. Lauren's mom
is writing. My mom is in my room right now. She invades my space, which is very similar.
Why is your mom in your room?
Does she know about this podcast? No. What does she think you're doing? Does she just think you're chatting with us?
Yes.
Yes. She just thinks Lauren's video chatting. Well, I think that it was really, like, a shitty thing that happened, that you were abandoned, and I'm glad, like, you're over it. I'm glad that you don't need to stay in that hateful or, like, angry or neglected place.
Agreed. And that was, like, another incentive in my faraway move It was like running away from these two things a little bit. Oh, and I have one more thing to... Okay, so the final straw for me is like, so the Christmas after, so that was like the first holiday season I'd spent without these two people, my ex-boyfriend and my former roommate. He had sent me a text on Christmas Day saying Merry Christmas, and I was like, you don't get to do this. And he sent one to my other friend who I was spending Christmas with. And she was like, you're upset. He shouldn't have done that. I was like, you're right. And so she and I were at her mom's house for Christmas that day because it was my like last orphan Christmas. And New York is which New Yorkers have friend Christmases and orphan Christmases because it's hard to travel over the holidays.
Orphan everything.
Yeah. And so we went home that night, and I went back to her place, and we found this bottle that her stepdad, who had passed earlier that year, had been like, who's a former alcoholic, he was gifted a bottle of Maker's Mark. Who knows why? Who's gifting a former alcoholic a bottle of Maker's Mark? But anyway, I think he kept it in his cabinet just to remind himself that he doesn't need it. And so we took it home. We were like, we're taking this, like, since he just, like, had passed, and it was just, like, a kind of a toast to him. So my friend and I got really drunk, and she told me that she saw on my ex's Instagram a while ago a picture of my former roommate at the beach together, and I was like, what? She was like, yeah, I hadn't told you this, but I feel like I needed to tell you this now. I was like, what the fuck? So she showed me the picture, and it was like just like a photo of her like kind of lounging on the beach, and I was like, what the fuck is that? First of all, he never Instagram friended me. He like kept it private for me because he thought it was funny that he wouldn't accept me. So that should have been like a big red flag, right?
Red
there.
Flag, motherfucker. Oh my god.
Ouch. Yeah.
So and I don't know if I was ever on any of his Instagram because I couldn't see it. But at like the time, I was like, whatever, I don't really care. Like, I trust him. He's not hiding. And then so the fact that like they were hanging out together after he and I had broken up, and he's posting a photo of her on his Instagram, like, was like the last straw and the last like knife in my heart. And I was like, these
oh, that's
people are
super
dead to
fucked
me.
Up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Wow.
Bye.
Wow.
And so I spent that night yelling at him over text message, and I was like, you're not allowed to do that anymore. Like, never reach out to me again.
Burn my number.
My God. Yeah. Burn your phone.
Yeah.
And burn your face.
Yikes.
While you're at it. Just to make me feel better.
Right.
Yeah. These people were both super, super vain, too. So it's really funny that they, like, found each other.
Is this the type that you go for? This narcissistic kind of drama creating personality type?
I mean, yes. Well, like, since I'm, like, so reserved, like, it's very entertaining for me to have people that are more extroverted and more like, she always like amused and entertained me, and like for a while she was a really good friend because she would like, for the first few years, was very supportive and was there, and we had like a mutual like give and take. But then, like, it's one of the things when she gets too comfortable and she just keeps taking and taking and taking and doesn't know when to stop taking until it's, like, gone too far and the person's had enough. And I guess I was just willing to give longer than most people are that were friends with her.
Well, that's the thing with narcissists. They'll be really warm and engaging in the beginning to pull you in, and then once they kind of have you, they show their true colors more, which is just like pure narcissism.
Well, they get you entrapped in all of their games and all of their attentions, and it's like they feed on you feeding on them.
Right.
Like,
right.
They need you to be rotating around them, and it has to be their orbit, and it's always, like, their control. Whatever it is that you two end up doing, it's always, like, their orchestrations and manifestations, and you don't even matter. It's just that energy of you being there, feeding into it. That's what sustains them, and I remember just, I briefly spent time with this roommate. I was never super sure about her. She was like very fake nice to me, or like got too into it really quickly. Like she ended up making me a birthday card yeah. and was like, I was like, who? I barely hung out with you, lady. Yeah. Like, and every time we did hang out or that I was hearing about her, I think she had some drinking issues, and she would always get like super drunk and then pass out or disappear.
Right.
Or you'd have to take care of her. You'd have to like leave to go take care right. of her. And I'm really anxious and weird about having people who need that constant drunken care. Like, I never get to that point because I don't want anyone to feel like they're responsible for me. And I don't like being that person. And I get really resentful when that friend becomes that person.
Right.
Like, I'm not your nanny. I will listen to you for the day as long, and I will support you. But, like, you can't be a drunk mess and ruin every single night that we decide to go out or hang out.
Right.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
So
that was my impression of her.
And then that last year, it was definitely, it escalated a lot. And she, like, ruined, like, my friend's birthdays. Like, not even just yours. Like, Healy's, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why did you even come if you're going to be like that? That's so embarrassing. Well,
yeah.
It was just like, what are you even, like, why are you even trying to be my friend? Like, you're not even here. You're not even being respectful. Like, you just made it all about you.
Yeah.
It was always all about you. It was never about me. It was never about Lauren. It was never about Sarah. And Sarah had a roommate who did the exact same thing in a way. So
yeah.
it's an interesting parallel. I think that's why you two have so much in common and you relate to each other in that way. Like, just having these people close to you for years kind of just end up screwing you over stupid shit that no one should screw each other over about.
Well, right. for me, I used to kind of let other people define the terms of my friendships. And so I would put up with whoever the person was, I would kind of take them as they are because I felt like I'm a difficult person. So I'll just let the other people define the terms of the friendship, and that way I'll have friends. Otherwise, I felt like I wouldn't. But, yeah, so as part of my healing process, I've shed a lot of friendships that just, I was like, I don't really like these people. I don't just want to hang out with someone who's going to, like, take from me the whole time, want it to be
right.
a give and take. And narcissism is fun because the people can be really charming, but it gets old really fast.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Huh.
I'm charming without being a narcissist.
Yes. You're a much healthier friend to have.
Yeah. We're extroverts with, like, maybe a tinge of, like, healthy ego, but not narcissists.
I don't have an ego. I don't have an ego, Sarah.
Okay, I do.
I do have an ego. I just don't have one when I'm drunk, apparently.
Yeah.
So, when I'm drunk and freebasing pizza, I don't have an ego. yeah, I think I also have a lot of introverted tendencies that have come out as I get older, and like I really do try and balance that. Like, as much as I want to be the social, fun, outgoing friend, like, I also need my downtime, and I also want to just sit on the couch with my friends and snuggle and watch a movie. Like, I don't want to be on all the time.
No.
It's exhausting.
I don't want to be on ever. I'm kind of always in off mode. So we have to make it a shorter pod today. Do we have a question, or do we want to read Lauren's book?
Lauren?
It's a special presentation, a little excerpt from one of the books that I published that we discussed last week, and the title of this book is Evan is a Dick and I Am a Stupid Vagina.
And just to catch our listeners up in case they didn't hear our podcast last week, which is unacceptable, but I guess it could happen if you're a new listener this week. These are books that Lauren published based on messages back and forth she had with ex-boyfriends. Well, like the duration of her relationship online with an ex.
Right. Well, this excerpt is a series of text messages. And this is a guy that I had an on and off again relationship for like 2.5 years, we'll say. And this is takes place in sort of the middle of our hanging out.
I will be playing Lauren.
And I will be playing Evan.
And I'm the narrator.
Set the scene.
So this is November 15th. What year? I'm not sure. Maybe 2010, probably. And it's 9:49 at night.
Hey.
Hi.
What are you up to?
Shoe shopping, among other things.
A little late for that, no.
No, that's what the internet is for.
What you need is a distraction.
That seems more like what you need. I need a good night's sleep.
Okay, that's cool. Seriously?
I missed this call.
Ha!
Yes, seriously.
It's 10:45.
I'm kind of proud of you. Nobody can respect you until you respect yourself. Sadly, some really good sex goes out the window with this realization. But really, as a friend, I'm proud of you.
I deleted his number and turned off my phone that night. Okay, now it's November 21st. And 6:40 p.m.
Kind of bummed today.
Why?
Just one of those days. Sometimes I just get kind of sad. Can't always talk to the boys about this kind of stuff.
And now November 22nd at 2:33 p.m.
Sorry you were sad. Hope you feel better.
And now it's 1:12 in the 1:20 in the morning.
If I told you I really needed a friend right now, would you tell me to fuck off?
No. What kind of friend? I'm just not having sex with you.
I just need a friend. Can I come over?
Sure.
16th?
Yeah.
It's 1:30 a.m.
Downstairs.
So we talked, and he finally admitted several things that I needed to hear, and I expressed my side. He said he loves me like he loves his niece and nephews. We didn't have sex, though he tried to break me all night and all morning. And now it's the next morning at 9:48 a.m.
Thank you.
11:24 is Thanksgiving Day at 11:04 p.m.
You home for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, just got here. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And 11:29 at 9:30 p.m.
Platonic sleepover?
Sure.
We'll be out for about an hour. Is that cool?
So, 10:30? That's perfect.
Cool. End scene.
Yeah.
I really so, got...
Yes, give me your thoughts and opinions on that.
I have questions. What did he finally... What did you guys talk about when he came over?
I mean, I don't know. that was years ago.
What was the gist, Lauren? What was the gist? You published a book. What was the gist?
Yeah, you know.
Dig in.
Well, and you can read more about it in the book.
You only sent us this one page of dialogue.
Yeah, well, you know.
She really wants everyone to buy the book. And,
it's only
$20
on Blurb.
But really, like, why weren't you sleeping with him? Why were you entertaining this conversation? Like, what were you getting out of it? What did he say to you?
Well, like, I was really into him, and I kind of loved him. And he'd already been jerking me around for, like, a year prior to this. And we did have, like, some weird codependent, like, friendship at this point. We had been, like, sleeping together. And he was, like, we were using each other for sex. But I felt mostly used. And then I was, like, I'm tired of being used. I'm not going to be your fuck buddy anymore because I want more. I want a relationship from you if we're going to continue seeing each other. And he wasn't capable of doing that. And I think that's what he, like, was admitting, that he really liked me, but he didn't know how to be with me or couldn't be with me.
I mean, to say that you love someone like you love your niece or nephew, like, that would have gutted me. I would have not been okay. Like, that would still affect me to this day. What do you think?
Well, I was like, that's kind of gross. Because you still really want to have sex with me, too. Like, do you want to have sex with your niece and nephew?
God. Where were you in New York at this time? Were you here?
He was, like, kind of my first New York relationship. And really, at that point, he was, like, maybe the fourth or fifth person I'd ever slept with. So he was, like, I was still very young and naive in my dating. And, like, trying to figure it out. And I definitely, like, was really wanting a boyfriend and a serious relationship. And I was just, like, I tried really hard to, like, make him like me the way I wanted him to like me.
Mm.
And that's why it, like, went on for as long as it did. It's like, I'm gonna break him. I'm gonna win this. Like, it's
so
gonna happen.
So stubborn. Stubborn, yeah. Stubborn Lauren.
Girl, I've been there.
And then...
But, like, what a fucker to say that I love you... Oh, shit, hold on. I did this wrong. Here we go. What a fucker to say I love you like a niece or a nephew. First of all, that's bullshit because then he tried to sleep with you. So it's really like you don't hopefully try to sleep with your niece or nephew, but to say it's like a familial love and then try to sleep with the person, it's total bullshit. He was just like using you to make himself feel good, and he didn't want to commit to anything.
Definitely. That was our entire relationship.
Yeah. The problem that I saw was, like, when you told him you were shopping for shoes and you weren't going to entertain whatever he wanted to entertain, he was like, good for you. Like, it's good to have standards. And just totally...
I know, so condescending.
Condescending and, like...
So fucking condescending.
Just such, like, a fuckboy move. Like, I didn't even know what a fuckboy was back then, but that is the definition of it. Like,
definitely.
Negging you, but, like, pretending to praise you, but, like, just kind of trying to make you feel guilty into having sex with them.
Yeah, totally. That was our entire relationship.
Mm.
He tried to get what he wanted, and then when you didn't give in, he pretended like, yeah, you go, girl.
I'm proud of you, woman.
but really, can we have sex now?
Right.
No? Oh, well, that good for you.
Oh.
But now, can we have sex? Right. Oh, yeah, dig it. Feminism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what a tool.
I hate him.
Yeah. No, everybody, all my girlfriends... this entire time hate him, and I hate him too. I mean, I slept with him way too many times and way longer than I ever should have, because, like, we had really good sex, so I kept going back for more and more and more, and he's, like, very, very handsome, and he's, like, industrial designer, so he's in a field that I really appreciate and like, and it's actually a field that you can like make money in the arts, so it's like, that's like the type of guy, like he fit that type that I was like looking for, but he just is such a fuckboy that can never happen.
Yeah.
Listen, we all went through, or maybe are still going through, the phase of
the fuckboy.
Finding a narcissist and trying to get them to fall in love with us. Like, thinking that we're so lovable that we can change them from a narcissist into, like, a loving, giving person because we are magical creatures and we can win the battle between their own self-love and our need, our wonderfulness.
Our siren call of stop being a shithead.
Because we all had parents that were narcissists in their own ways, and so we have this quest to like narcissist whisperers, you know? We want to win them. We want to get that love that was always on their terms. We wanted to like bring it onto our terms, but that will never happen.
Nope. And that's, yeah. That's why I'm like, I'm just not dating right now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take a break too. self-imposed. I don't want to, but like I don't have a lot to give anyone right now. I think I need to work on me and more of what I'm looking for.
Yep.
Yeah. And entertaining myself.
Yep.
Definitely. Yep. I think that sounds great.
Yeah, a real break as opposed to your last break where you kept dating someone.
Right.
Right. Well, I had a few dates with someone that I really did like, but he made a decision not to see me, and I respect that. And like the more that we hung out, the more it was like a very deep physical attraction, but we have nothing in common. And once we like finally let down that wall of like, okay, the attraction is here, but as people, like when we were actually honest with each other as people and we had an emotional talk about why we couldn't be dating, I actually saw him for who he was as a person and as a talker and as a being. And it wasn't as attractive as how I had framed it before with all the physical, like just talking to him didn't get me going the way that I want to be spoken to and have a dialogue with someone about. Like, we were so different that it was never going to work. And we let the dating facade down, and we were just each other as people with each other. And it was so apparent so quickly that like it wasn't going to work on a romantic level, because even on a friend level, like I didn't agree with him and he didn't agree with me and we didn't have anything in common.
Right. When you pull back that veil of chemistry, it's like shocking. There's nothing there. There's like no connection.
It was like, it was whoa.
Just physical.
Like, whoa. You are lovely and I enjoy talking to you about certain things, but like if I have to keep explaining feminism to you and if I have to keep explaining like why this political movement that we're going through, why people protesting, why cultural appropriation isn't okay. Like if I have to keep breaking this down every time we talk about something and you're going to make fun of me for it, like that's not a satisfying relationship for me.
No.
No. No, we need some woke men, the three of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why I'm also have had such a hard time dating here. It's like I need some intellectual stimulation that I'm not finding from any of the men that I met, and I need them to like understand and be on my page, and they're not challenging me in a satisfying way, and so I'm just like, I no.
Being alone isn't so bad, actually. No one steals your covers.
Now I have a Brazilian model to obsess over.
Right. You can look at pictures.
Thanks,
Sarah. The Brazilian models and snuggle with your dog in bed and be very happy.
Yes.
All right. Well, I have to run, so we should probably
go
say good night or Gute Nacht.
Farewell.
As they say in Germany.
Gute Nacht.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Tschüss.
Auf Wiedersehen. In fashion, you're either in or you're out.
Yeah.
Sarah, you're out. I'm sorry. Please pack your workroom and go.
Oh, man.
Lauren, you are in, but just barely.
That's good, Nina.
Thanks. I had to do some accent and Lauren today. Like, I can't just do one thing.
Right.
Please send us your questions. Like us on Instagram. Follow us. Like us on Facebook. Follow us. Like us on Twitter. It's Siren Shrieking. And yeah, we're here.
And iTunes. Subscribe to us. Subscribe. I think we're also on Google Play as well.
Perfect.
So you can look for us on Google Play.
We're so available. Like, we're so slutty in that way.
We're
so
probably too available.
Too available, but yeah. We're just going to go with it.
Our brand.
Yeah.
Gotta get us before we're all famous and don't have time.
Exactly. And then the only way you can talk to us is if you come to our meet and greet and pay a VIP pass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get in on the ground floor, guys.
Join the 42 listeners that we have and make it 52.
Good night. Bye, guys.
Bye. Have fun.
Ciao.